You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on with our book club pick, Leadership as an Identity, the four traits of those who wield lasting influence. Now, this book is broken up into four parts because the author believes that Christian leaders live from and lead with four common identity characteristics. Part one, we talked about brokenness. Part two, we talked about uncommon communion. And up until last week, we were discussing part three, which is servanthood. Today, we move on into the last part of the book on radical and immediate obedience. I'm very excited about this part of the book because this is something that I believe we do not discuss enough. And in this particular chapter we're about to read, chapter 14, called Staying in the Game, the author didn't come to play with us. Okay, I thoroughly enjoyed this chapter. As always, the chapters are opened up with a scripture and a quote. The scripture is from Acts 20:24. It says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." I love this scripture because it is such a sobering reality of how we should live and the attitude in which we should operate from. In this Christian entrepreneurship space, it is quite easy to make things about us, achievement, growth, money, impact, influence, etc. All of the metrics that make us feel good and make us feel powerful, make us feel like the Lord is doing great works to us. Those are the things that we put on a pedestal. But the core of what we do and why we do it and our life in general is not to accumulate things. It's not to accumulate money, but it's just to finish our course in the ministry that we receive from the Lord. That's it. It's to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That is it. And we have to operate from a place where if this did not include all of our markers of success, that we'll still be content with that. And there's actually a section in this chapter that talks about contentment versus complacency. So we'll get to that shortly. The quote he gives is from Monty Watson. It says, "Sustaining oneself in ministry requires a group of friends. No one can do it alone. The group of friends must be honest, confidential, have fun, and go deep." He opens up the chapter by saying, "Through the years, I have talked to many older veteran Christian leaders. Many of these conversations have been nothing short of a worship experience because they're so focused on their Lord and Savior. I love listening to their stories. Often I ask, what motivated you to do what you've done? Sometimes they tell me about events that have been, quote unquote, strangely orchestrated in their lives and serve to point them in a certain direction. Or they will share how they were gripped by a need or a burden that something needed to be done and they felt compelled to act. But almost to a person, they say that they did what they did because they had to. It was a matter of obedience to God. They would rather die than disobey God." That's a mindset that I believe once you get to, this faith walk becomes a lot easier. Last week, we talked about holy boldness in business. And a big part of the boldness that we have to have as believers is to have this settledness to say, whatever it is the Lord tells me to do, I'm going to do it. I would rather die than disobey God. And that is how I'm going to operate. If he says jump, I'm jumping. I'm how high, God, as I'm jumping. If he says go, I'm going. If he says stay, I'm staying. Whatever it is he says, I'm going to do. And that is a non-negotiable. That's a attitude and an inner conviction that we have to operate with. And you can always tell those who have that conviction and those who don't, because those who don't, oftentimes, they spend a lot of times trying to rationalize, intellectualize, or procrastinate on a thing that the Lord told them to do. So the Lord may say, quit your job. And then you start calculating why this doesn't make sense or how this could work. And all of these things that you're doing to try to make yourself comfortable with the instruction is simply causing you to procrastinate on what the Lord said. And like we said last week, procrastination is still disobedience. Someone who has this conviction of, I'm going to obey the Lord no matter what, God tells them, hey, I need you to quit your job. They put in their 2-week notice. And then while they're at home, they're sitting, crunching the numbers, sitting in their prayer closet, sitting with their Bible. God, what's next? I did it. So now what's the next set of instructions? When I was early on in my walk, I read a book. I can't even remember which one it was. But the instruction that the author was saying was, as it relates to obedience, she was saying that you just have to pray and obey, pray and obey. And so early on, when I was still getting used to this level of obedience and truly giving my whole entire life to the Lord, that would be my motto. So when the Lord would give me an instruction that was very scary, I would just pray and obey. And my prayer wasn't asking for clarity. It wasn't asking for any type of answers. It wasn't asking for anything to make me feel good. It was just, God, just give me the strength to be able to see this through despite how I feel. And then I will move on to doing whatever it is that he said. And then as I continued to give him my yes, little by little by little, as I was looking up, I began to see what those yeses were amounting to, which made the next yes a lot easier. But if you're someone who focuses so much on the discomfort or what you can see with your natural eyes, what doesn't make sense, what people think, whatever the excuse is that keeps you just from simply doing the thing. If you're somebody who focuses on that, you are robbing yourself of the opportunity to see the Lord's faithfulness. My advice to most people, and you've heard it even on this show, when they come to me, the Lord wants me to do this, but my advice is always, give God an opportunity to prove to you yet again how faithful he is. It's something to be investigated when our comfort, our own comfort, is more important than our obedience. And I don't want to get ahead of myself because he talks about how we make our own plans an idol in this chapter. But it's something to be investigated to where if the Lord tells you to do something instead of just doing it, all of the things that all of the internal and external noise somehow is able to be successful in getting you to delay doing what he said. So if you're somebody who struggles with radical and immediate obedience, then I would really encourage you to take a step back and investigate why. Y'all know how we do on this show. Anything that separates us from closeness to the Lord, anything that separates us from obeying the Lord, we hold up to the light because we need to see what it is so that we can deal with it, remove it, and get back into position. And this is another one of those instances where you can do that. The author says, obedience, the very word says it all. Biblical leadership is characterized not only by brokenness, uncommon communion, and servanthood, but also by radical, immediate obedience. There is no such thing as leadership apart from action. But to the Christian leader, it is not just action that matters. It is obedient action. There is a big difference between chasing good ideas and fulfilling a mission, an assignment. I've said it many times already in this book, but please let it grab you. God is about the business of doing through us what He wants done. Leadership is the stewardship process by and through which God's assignments are implemented. To be a leader is a sacred trust. Our faithfulness in doing what God says is what really matters. I love how he said that it's not just about chasing good ideas, but it's about the mission and the assignment, because this is a major key as it relates to business. Something that I struggled with early on in merging faith and business was, I was like, okay, God, I know I'm supposed to do business your way. I know I'm supposed to operate based upon your principles. I know I'm supposed to obey you and do what you tell me to do, but where do I fit? That was always a struggle for me, to where I felt like if I had an idea or if I did anything, then somehow that was contrary to God's plan. And I had to essentially just sit and twiddle my thumbs and wait for what to do next. And in a way, that's true. But what I've learned in just applying this whole principle of Christian entrepreneurship is that the Lord is mission focused. He's focused on carrying out His assignment through you. The logistics of how that assignment gets fulfilled, I believe we have the opportunity to be kind of creative as it relates to that. So when I think about when the Lord gave me the assignment for Blessed and Bossed Up, when I was doing the podcast a different way initially, He gave me a mission. He said, get on this show and I want you to show people and discuss the journey of making me the CEO of their business. And so that's the mission. How I did that was up to me. What I called it, what I talked about, the way in which I communicated my message, all of that, all of the ideas on how to promote the show and all of these different things, I was able to have fun with that and do that. But the mission is the same. I was able to show up and be creative as an entrepreneur within the boundaries of His assignment. And that's a major key when it comes to Christian entrepreneurship. The Lord establishes the mission and the assignment, and you operate within that boundary. If I ain't told you nothing else about how to do business God's way, make sure you write that one down, because that's a major key to this. Even when it came to Anchored Media, where the Lord told me, hey, fill the airwaves with good news. That was my assignment. And so the services, He did tell me some things to do, such as my events. He did give me certain instructions and ideas and things like that. But the assignment is to fill the airwaves with good news. And so anything that I do with Anchor Media is within that boundary. Some things have been successful, some things have not. And it's okay. It's okay for the things that don't work. That doesn't mean God isn't in it. For as long as I'm fulfilling His assignment, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The nature of business is sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. It's not for me to crash out about, as the young people say, but it's for me to take it back to the drawing board and continue to build, again, within His boundary. So for those of you who feel called to entrepreneurship, don't just ask God for ideas. Don't just sit around, oh, the Lord has called me to entrepreneurship, so I'm going to come up with some different ideas. Go back and ask Him, Lord, what's the mission? What's the assignment? What part am I supposed to play in this industry that I'm called to? And then listen to what He has to say, and then obey any instruction that comes along with it. I love how in this book, he even goes to, and we're actually going to read it, Samuel 15, 19 through 23, because Saul tried it and we could judge him, but a lot of us do the exact same thing. Let's go to the text. Again, it's 1 Samuel. I think I left out the first when I said it before. 1 Samuel 15, 19 through 23. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is a huge deal. My oldest is heading to kindergarten in the fall, and fun fact, his school uses IXL. So we are so excited to lean into it. If you're anything like me, you want to set your child up for success. But sometimes those homework questions feel like another language, especially this new math that these kids are doing. Or maybe your child is ahead and needs more of a challenge. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help them really master topics in a fun, encouraging way. And here's what I love. iExcel works for every child. Whether your kid is just starting out or in high school, one subscription gives you everything, pre-K through 12th grade. It's backed by research, and kids who use iExcel consistently score higher on tests. iExcel is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S., and 1 in 4 students nationwide are learning with it right now. So if you're looking to save time, save money, and see real progress, this is the smartest investment that you can make. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get iExcel now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off iExcel membership when they sign up today at iExcel.com/today. Visit iExcel.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Cozy Earth. As a mom of 2 and a full-time entrepreneur, my days are nonstop. And I've learned the hard way that when I don't sleep well, everything feels harder and everything suffers. That's why I had to upgrade my nights with Cozy Earth. Their bamboo sheet set, let me tell you, game changer. It's the softest, most breathable fabric I've ever slept on. And the best part to me is the temperature regulation. I'm someone who gets hot in my sleep. I freeze my husband every night with the fan. But with the temperature regulation, I don't have to wake up hot or tossing and turning. I just rest deeply. So if you're someone who wears multiple hats like me, sometimes we have a tendency of putting ourselves last, and it's time to change that. Prioritize sleep and prioritize you. Visit CozyEarth.com and use my code BLESSED for up to 40% off sheets, pajamas, towels, and more. That's CozyEarth.com, code BLESSED. And if you get a post-purchase survey, let them know that you heard it right here. Sleep better with Cozy Earth. Let me put y'all on for a second. Shopping on Revolve.com is truly an experience. It's like having a personal stylist built into the site. Whether it's vacation, brunch, birthday, or date night, as I was looking for, or if you want to just get cute for no reason, at Revolve.com, they get it. And they curate it for you, which makes the shopping experience so easy. One of the things I love the most were the accessories. I went straight for the designer shades, the dainty bracelets, the statement watches, all of my favorite things to have in my closet. And with summer right around the corner, I was all in the shoe section. There are so many cute styles that are perfect for dressing up or just running errands in style. They carry over 1,200 brands, from everyday favorites to designer must-haves. Plus, they drop new arrivals daily. I also love their size inclusivity. As someone who has been having babies over the last 5 years or so, my size varies. And I love that they have options from extra, extra small all the way up to 4X. From last-minute getaways to party dressing and seasonal upgrades, Revolve has you covered with fast 2-day shipping and easy returns, all on them. And for a limited time, you can shop a curated selection of my favorite styles at revolve.com/blessed and receive 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. That's revolve.com/blessed to shop my top picks and get 15% off your first order with code BLESSED. Offer ends June 15th, so don't miss out. 1 Samuel 15 recounts Saul's disobedience when God commands him to completely destroy the Amalekites and everything that belongs to them. That was discussed in verses 1 through 3. Instead of giving him, the Lord, his full obedience, Saul spares Agag, the king, and allows the people to keep the best of the livestock. Samuel confronts him about this partial obedience, in which Saul tries to justify his actions, and that's where we are in the text. So starting at verse 19, he says, "Why haven't you," and this is Samuel speaking, "why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" "But I did obey the Lord," Saul insisted. "I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." But Samuel replied, What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? That'll preach. Let me read that again. But what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. The author of the book goes on to say, notice that obedience is more important than our religious ceremony and acts of worship, aka sacrifice. Disobedience is called rebellion and likened to witchcraft. When God is specific and clear about what he wants you to do, he does not give you the option to freelance or to improvise. Such presumption is called iniquity and idolatry. Think about that. Whenever you choose your way over his way, you commit idolatry because in essence, you are saying that your wisdom is superior to God's. You are acting as though you are God. Ouch. He says, let me press into this a bit further. You could argue that Saul generally did what God told him to do. He destroyed most of the Amalekites and some of the livestock. Okay, he doesn't get an A, but isn't he at least good for a B minus or a C plus? To God, however, that was not good enough. When God speaks, obedience is not something to be negotiated. There's no such thing as partial obedience. We either completely do what God says or we disobey him. God is to be taken seriously. We could sit on our high horse and judge Saul all we want, but how many times has God given you a specific instruction and you partially obeyed it? Or you picked and chose what was the most comfortable for you and you did that and tried to spiritualize it and say, oh, I did what the Lord told me to do, but you didn't do everything he told you to do. To where the Lord told you to forgive someone and apologize to them. You forgave them, but you didn't go apologize to them for your part in whatever the discretion was. Am I stepping on toes? How many of you have been in a position where you obeyed just a little bit, but not completely? We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that. So this isn't to make you feel bad for any time you did partially obey, but it's to bring recognition to the fact that partial obedience is still disobedience. And the more that we understand that and we don't think that we can negotiate the details when it comes to the Lord's assignment, the better off we will be because we will be more faithful to him. And in return, he will continue to be faithful to us. I don't want the Lord to speak to me the way that he spoke to Saul. I don't want the Lord to remove any influence or assignment that he has because of my own actions. That makes me cringe to even think about the fact that my Lord and Savior, the one that I worship, that I've dedicated my life to, that I love with every part of my being, would reject me because of my own decisions. That I can't even fathom it. But we have to understand that the Lord ain't to be played with. He's not. And his assignments are non-negotiable. His instructions are non-negotiable. The author says, I wonder how much more could be and would be accomplished for the glory of God if we listened to God and did everything he told us to do. I sometimes think about those times in my life when I didn't completely do everything God told me to do. What more could God have done? How many more people would have heard the gospel, or how many would have been mobilized for the cause of Christ? Maybe you think about these things too. I'm grateful for God's forgiveness and grace. He really is the God of second chance and third and the 50th. The consequences and lessons we learn from our disobedience should humble us and make us more responsive to God and passionate about obedience. That's one of the reasons why I am pleading with you and myself to please take this matter of obedience seriously. If you have been operated out of a reservoir of good ideas and have not led with seeking God first, listening to him and then taking steps of obedience, let me encourage you to repent and get your priorities in order. If I think back on the times where I didn't do what the Lord said, most of the time it had to do with talking to certain people. Like, I'm an introvert by nature. When I'm in public and I'm out and about, I'm generally laid back, not super quiet. Like I talk, you know, and engage in conversations and things like that. I'm not shy, but I'm also not the loudest person in the room. But I'm also one of them people where they be like, talk to your neighbor and tell your neighbor this. I don't want to tell my neighbor nothing. That's also me. I'm out. Soon as church dismissed, I'm the first one out. Ain't no congregating and talking to the lobby. I'm going home. Like, so it's my personality to be a bit more reserved. But there have been times where I may have been speaking to people or have been in situations where the Lord has told me to, hey, tell this person this. And I shied away from it because I felt that was a bit too personal for me to share. And it was something that, especially earlier on, that I've had to get used to how the Lord will use me to minister to people. It's comfortable to do in small settings that with people I have a rapport with. It's comfortable to do on this podcast or even in business settings because I'm kind of in that mode. But in just regular everyday life, I would freeze up a lot of the times and it would eat me up inside. I would definitely have to repent. But it would eat me up because I'm like, man, Lord, and my prayer would be, God, let somebody else who had a bit more boldness than me minister to them. Please don't let my lack of boldness in this situation keep them from knowing you. It would tear me up inside. And I've also seen times where I didn't allow my own disposition to get in the way of me being obedient. There was one time I was at an event. And the Lord told me to go up to this particular person and just introduce myself. That was the only assignment. That's probably why I was comfortable with it because it wasn't anything deep. I just had to say, hey, my name is Tatum. And so I did. And she was like, oh, I know who you are. I listened to your podcast. And we struck up a really good conversation. And around that time, the event we were at was getting ready to dismiss for lunch. And so I was going out to lunch with some of the girls I had went to the event with, and I invited her to come to lunch with us, and she did. And just as we talked and chatted and got to know each other some, there was a need that I had in my business that she was able to fulfill. And it was so obvious the way that the Lord had divinely orchestrated that connection. And she ended up working with me for a few years. And it's so funny because even more recently, she's moved to the area that I live in. And we were able to get together a few weeks ago to go get lunch and just catch up, talk, you know, see how she's doing, see how I'm doing. And it was great. And she was such an asset to my business for the time that she worked with me. And we developed a great relationship that we maintain today. And I've been able to help her through some tough seasons. And she's been able to help me in some tough seasons. And so that was a connection that I'm grateful for that only the Lord could have orchestrated. What would have happened had I just froze up because of my introverted nature? And so, again, when I talk about being radically obedient and doing everything the Lord says, we are all going to fall short sometimes. But that's why we have to be, as he's going to talk about in a second in his book, like David, people after God's own heart, to where even in our missteps, we repent, we turn back to the Lord, and we commit to being obedient fully in the next instruction. In this next section, he titled it Healthy Authority. And I love this section because it addresses head on an issue that blocks a lot of people from being obedient, which is our own real life natural experiences with authority. A lot of times if we've been hurt or we've had bad authority figures in our life, it makes it difficult to obey an authority that we can't see. He says, obedience acknowledges the supremacy of God over all things, including the affairs of your life and the work and mission he has called you to accomplish. You are his. What you do is his. But here's the problem. We tend to project our negative experiences with authority onto God. We either have problem trusting God or we develop our own theology, making him a softer God, quote unquote, who demands very little of us. God loves you with an infinite, unimaginable love. God is nothing like the abusive, neglective, earthly parent that you may have had. God is not a needy, insecure, power-hungry leader. You cannot compare him to an imperfect, inconsistent, organization, or church. Your concept of God should not emerge from the painful, bitter experiences of this life. You dare not let your view of him be contaminated with the sinful inconsistencies and imperfections of his fallen creation and creatures. Your concept of God and the nature of his authority should be derived from what he says about himself in his word, and not from your experiences or your speculations about who and what he should be like. Man, that's a word. He says God is to be trusted and to be completely obeyed. He is our creator and ultimate authority. Man, I've had some experiences in my life with authority figures. My household wasn't the healthiest when I was growing up, so my first introduction to authority wasn't Christ-like authority. When I would be taken to church, as I was growing up, it was mostly like mega churches. So even Christian authority just seemed to me to be very money hungry and manipulative. And so that was very off-putting to me. I remember my mother took me to a counselor at church because it was some things that was happening at the home, in our home, that really impacted me a lot. And so she took me to this counselor, and all this counselor did was just sit there and tell me how I'm wrong for feeling how I'm feeling because God says that I should do this. The Bible says that I should do that. And she manipulated scripture to invalidate my feelings. And I didn't know that she was manipulating scripture at that time. But as I've grown and become more mature and start to put the pieces together of who I've perceived the Lord to be based upon how he was presented to me and who he really is based off what the text says, I've been able to reconcile and recognize these different instances for what they are. Not as truths about God's character, but truths about the flaws of human individuals. This episode is brought to you by Effecty. Let's be real. Losing weight isn't just about willpower. It's about having the right tools and support. That's why I want to tell you about Effecty. With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredient as popular name brands, but for up to 80% less. These medications help regulate appetite and blood sugar, making weight loss sustainable and backed by science. Getting started is simple. Just fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth visit. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No waiting rooms, no hassle. One of the things I really appreciate about Effecty is their transparent pricing. There's no hidden fees, no membership required, and you could cancel at any time. You know exactly what you're paying for up front, period. And they don't leave you on your own. Effecty provides hands-on support with a dedicated team and licensed providers available to guide you through your weight loss journey step by step. Whether you're in a big city or a small town, Effecty makes this process accessible, personalized, and safe. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code BLESSED at checkout. That is Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use code BLESSED to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today. This episode is brought to you by Happy Mammoth. Have you ever had those days where you're doing everything quote unquote right, eating clean, staying active, getting rest, but your energy's still crashing, your moods are all over the place, and you feel totally out of sync? I've definitely been there. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz myself, and the results were eye-opening. It said my body may be overflowing with estrogen, which could be behind symptoms like my fatigue, bloating, and low moods. And based on my results, the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, a natural formula that helps flush out excess estrogen and brings your body back into balance. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. By taking the hormone quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance and can make small, intentional changes to support your body. Whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code BLESSED at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BLESSED for 15% off today. But what I've noticed for myself growing up and having issues with authority, it built a level of self-reliance in me to where I felt like, well, I'm good. As long as I take care of myself, I'm good. I don't need nobody else. Yeah, y'all was supposed to do this, but it's cool. Don't worry about it. I got it. I got me. It was a very hyper-independent, self-reliant exterior that I had built up as a defense mechanism. And while that defense mechanism is understandable, it's still something that had to be dealt with because it was preventing me from truly being able to accept Christ as my ultimate authority. And what had provided me a sense of safety before had to be replaced with Him being my ultimate sense of safety. And that was not an overnight process by any means. It took a lot of praying, fasting, reading my word, and therapy to be able to break away from that. And it's still there in some instances where I have to check myself and course correct and repent when it comes up. But a lot of us have this same history, different versions of it, but same history that keeps us from fully being able to trust God. But it's not an excuse. And we have to do what is necessary to be able to trust Him and rely on Him and put Him in his rightful place of our ultimate authority. And just as the author said, the best way to learn about the character of God is by reading His word. For me personally, keeping God's track record, as I talked about in the last episode, and having top of mind all of these instances that He showed me who He is. He's shown me in His word, but He's also shown me experientially who He is and the way in which He showed up for me. It builds up that trust even more. And so when I say give God an opportunity to show you that He's faithful, I also mean give God an opportunity to show that you don't need those defense mechanisms with Him. And I don't know who this is for, but there's some people who are listening where you have built walls, fortresses that are impenetrable based upon whatever your experience has been, and whether it's your childhood, in Christian settings, your upbringing, whatever the case may be, where you are physically unable to trust the Lord at this level because your defense mechanisms and the walls that you've built are so tough. But I promise you that if you take a chance to be vulnerable with the Lord and trust Him as your safe space, as your place of refuge, as your strength, as your strong tower, that you won't regret it. I will bet my life to say that give God your vulnerability. Give Him an opportunity to show that He is not whomever broke you. He's not those examples that led to you being guarded the way that you are right now. Give Him an opportunity to show you that He is the perfect parent, the perfect Lord, the perfect master, the perfect creator, that He didn't approve of what was done to you, but He will build you and put you back together and make you whole again. Give Him an opportunity to do just that. Give Him an opportunity to do just that. This next section is so good. It's called Content or Complacent. Our lives were meant to be the story of God in human history. God is making His statement through us. Certainly, He has given all of us different personalities, talents, gifts, and experiences. As His followers, He demands that we give everything back to Him so that He can leverage all that we are to accomplish what we were born to do. It is our destiny. As a leader, you can become comfortable and settle into a routine and rather predictable life. You begin to like the way things are. You lose sense of destiny that I just described. The processes are working. The challenges are manageable. You begin to think about what you've done in the past, and what you're doing now is what God always wanted you to do. It is one thing to be content. It's quite another to be complacent. It becomes easy to ignore the promptings of the Spirit of God to embrace God's next assignment. We rationalize and settle into a comfortable disobedience. Gradually, our fruit diminishes, our impact wanes, and we are left wondering, what happened? What's missing? I would like to suggest that when you struggle with knowing your destiny and with finding meaning and purpose, these feelings may be the manifestation of disobedience. When God speaks to you and you choose not to obey Him fully or even ignore what He is saying, He will allow you to experience frustration, emptiness, and despair. But that's only one result of not walking in obedience to God. Returning to the story I began earlier about King Saul, it is sobering to see what God does after Saul's disobedience. This led God to say, "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." As the Apostle Paul writes in Acts 13:22, God removed Saul and raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, "I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will." Obviously, David and Saul were very different. David had cultivated a tender, responsive heart towards God. At the end of the day, David wanted more than anything else to please God and to honor Him. This story shows me that you can never get too big or too important for God to replace you. God is not impressed with your past accomplishments or your stature, especially because He gave you that stature in the first place. When you refuse to obey Him, He will find someone else who will. He will simply turn around and say, "Next." It is an unspeakable privilege and opportunity to be entrusted with the assignments and responsibility given to us by the Ancient of Days. But it is not a good thing to not do what He says. Those of you who feeling guilty for the times that you haven't been obedient, listen to this, because God isn't here to shame you. Correct you, absolutely. Not to shame you, though. Listen to this. David was called a man after God's heart because He responded to him, even after he sinned. This gives all of us hope. God is looking for leaders who are not perfect, but who respond to Him. Leaders who don't make excuses about their sin or justify patterns of disobedience. Leaders whose hearts are tender and responsive to the conviction and correction of the Holy Spirit. I think of something Clyde Cook told me. "I want to be used for God's highest purpose." I have another card on my desk with 2 Timothy 2:20-21 from the Living Bible. It says, "If you stay away from sin, you will be like one of those dishes made of purest gold, the very best in the house, so that Christ Himself can use you for His highest purpose." Obviously, if our Lord Jesus Christ has a highest purpose, it must mean that He has some lower purposes. I want to be used for His highest purpose. The secret of this, of course, is in the first part of the verse, "if we stay away from sin." Saul was afraid of losing his position as the leader of Israel, but David was afraid of losing touch, intimacy, and favor with God, who had been everything to him. He ends with the question, "Honestly, what are you more afraid of?" Something to think about. Are you more afraid of losing your position, or are you more afraid of losing the touch, intimacy, and favor of God, who has been everything to you? This last part highlights something that I think about often. I'm still young. I'm only 33 years old. And I want, by the time that I am first, I pray that the Lord allows me to experience longevity in my life, for me to live a full, long life. And the Bible says with long life, He will satisfy us. And that's my prayer for myself. But I pray that when I'm in my latter years, that I'm able to exude a wisdom that can only come from a life well lived for the Lord. I pray that I am able to look back on my life with no regrets, to know that even though I didn't do everything right every single time, that I had a posture like David. I was a woman after God's own heart, that I was quick to repent. I was also quick to obey, and that I did his assignment well, that I serviced what he has entrusted me well, that all of the gifts and skills and the talents that he's given me, that I've given them back to him well. That's my prayer for my life. And that's why I harp so much on this show about, hey, whenever something is coming up, coming in between us and the way of the Lord, we got to address it and address it quickly, because I don't want us to spend years or decades in bondage or a slave to our own ideas, our own ambition, our own traumas. I want us to be free and walk in the freedom that is ours. I want us to be whole and walk in the wholeness that is ours. I want us to walk with the Lord and keeping in step with his spirit. I want us to abide in him and experience the fruitfulness that comes from that. But I have highlighted here, he says, have you ever noticed that there is a sweet, godly nobility about certain older leaders? He said, I never knew Henrietta Mears, which is a leader he talked about earlier in a text that I didn't bring up here. But he said, in many leaders I have known, I have noticed a joy and a calm assurance and a strength that emanates from their demeanor. God has honored and rewarded their obedience. They carry with them a wholesome fear of God because they have seen him honor their faithful response to what he has placed before them to do. This should be our vision and passion too. My dear friend Tim Kimmel puts it this way. The guys who seem to last the longest and maintain a fresh passion for their calling are the ones who walk hand in hand through the highs, lows, and the mediocre moments of their ministries. They take their cues from God and gain their strength from him. One of the litmus tests I look for is the level of joy they have in their work, even after they've been at the same assignment for 20 or 30 years. There is no great secret. It's exactly what God said would happen if we make him the primary focus of our life. God's faithfulness should inspire our complete, immediate obedience. I think this is a good place to stop. I pray that this episode has blessed you. Please get this book, Leadership as an Identity by Crawford Loritz. We're in the last part, but whether you're here for the first time or you didn't start with us from the beginning, go back and listen to the previous chapters. Grab the book for yourself. I highly recommend it. I pray that this has blessed you to be radically obedient and also quick to identify what's keeping you from that obedience. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.